Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts here, Dana Osman, here with my friend Chavruta and Gordon. Our daf today, Masechta Bava Metzia, daf Yud Gimel, page 13. Yesterday, we ended with a Mishnah that talked about finding documents, right? Somebody found a document. It's a document that discusses a loan that was given. And there became a question, first of all, if the document had a lien on a property in the document. In that case, the finder shouldn't return it to the creditor. And rather, you know, because the court would try to exact payment from it. And if it didn't have a lien, right, we called achriot nechassin, then it could be returned to the creditor because then the Beit Din wouldn't be involved. And that was Rabbi Meir's opinion. And the Chachamim said in either case, the finder should not return it to the creditor because the Beit Din would exact payment from this note, from this document that was found. So I'm actually going to start in yesterday's daf on Yud Bet to just sort of kick off what the Gemara does here with this Mishnah. And it starts off with its, you know, basic question of b'mai askinan. What's the case that this Mishnah is actually dealing with? Il maleh kishachayav modeh. If you say that the Mishnah is referring to a case where the debtor admits that the debt is owed, and let's say there is a lien on a property in the note, right? We said, you know, that it is a achrayut sheyesh bahen achrayut nechasin, which was the case that Rabbi Meir said shouldn't be returned, and the Chachamim said in either case it shouldn't be returned. So the question becomes, right, if we know that if the debtor agrees, right, you know, agrees to it, Ha moda, right? He admits to the debt. So the question is, why wouldn't you return it? Why shouldn't you be able to return it since the debtor? So in other words, it would be a case you show the debtor the document. He says, oh, yes, this is true. I do owe him money. Why wouldn't you return it to the creditor? And the Gemara wants to know about the opposite set of circumstances. V'chi kishe'en chayav moda. Let's say the mission is dealing with a case where the debtor doesn't admit that the debt is owed. Ki ein bahem achrayut nechasim amai yachzir. And there's no lien on the property. Why should the finder return it to the creditor? Nihi delo gabe mi shabdi. Right? Granted that the creditor will not be able to use a note to collect the properties, right? Because the real properties aren't in the debtor's possession. And the creditor can only collect if there's a lien against them. Mi bene chari mi gabe, right? He can only, he can only collect from properties free of any, I guess what this word would be is encumbrance, meaning properties which are still in the debtor's possession and which the creditor could collect from without a lien, right? Then the creditor would be able to collect. But how can we tell the finder to return the note to the creditor when the debtor says that that this is not true. I don't actually owe this person money. So the Gemara basically says, Liolam kishachayav moda. The Mishnah has to be referring to a case, right? So those questions would basically be on Rabbi Meir, right? That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. And so they're using both of those scenarios, right, where there is achrayut nechasin, and he said he can't return it, or where there is an ein bahen achrayut nechasin, and he says, in that case, they can return it, and they give a scenario in both cases about why the opposite should be true. So the Gemara says, L'olam kishachayav moda. The Mishnah is a case where the debtor admits that there's a debt. V'hacha hainu tama. And here, right, in the case of a note that has the lien provision, the reason for not returning the note is, D'chashinan shama katav l'lavo b'nisan. Right, we're concerned that maybe the debtor drew up the note to borrow it in the month of Nisan, okay? So this would mean that the Nisan is the date that appears on the note as the date of the loan. V'lo lave ad tishrei. But he actually didn't borrow the money until 6 months later in Tishrei. So in other words, it could be that the debtor drew up this note in Nisan to anticipate a loan, but he didn't actually get it at the time. So the creditor didn't loan him the money until 6 months later in Tishrei, right? But the debtor had already predated the note, and then the creditor lost the note. So it's true he hadn't paid it back, but the debtor admits that he still owes him the note, right? But the creditor, right, who would have been given the note, you know, based because the debtor admits to it, can come to basically seize property from the purchasers. In other words, let's say the debtor sold property before Tishrei, okay? That's not going to be mortgaged in the Tishrei loan, right? When we say that you can collect on a property that's sold, it's only something that was sold after a loan was made. Then if the loan can't be repaid, the creditor can go to the buyer and say, well, this guy really needed to pay me back and he shouldn't have sold this property, so I'm going to take his property, which he sold to you. But if this property was sold before the loan ever was enacted, that sale is still considered to be good. So the issue is that if there's a mistaken date on the document, right, and really the loan wasn't executed until much later, it allows the creditor to have property to obtain, property or payment back from the debtor on property that the creditor really isn't entitled to, especially if the debt was executed at a much later date, yet the original date was written there. So the Gemara is basically going to, you know, from here, show that if, that there's a difficulty if somebody thinks about or takes it into consideration, right, this idea of drawing of the note that preceded the actual debt. Ihachi, right, if we are concerned about the drawing of this note, that maybe the note was actually written up before the debt was actually, before the loan was actually made, kol shtari da'atu l'kaman, then all notes of indebtedness that come before us, any note that's presented before the court of law, nichush luhu haki, we should be worried about this. We should always be concerned that there was a possibility that the document that's being presented has a date that actually preceded the actual date, and this would sort of prevent the creditor from actually getting his debt from property that was sold prior to the debt. So they're like, this can't be the case. And this kind of makes sense because when you read it, you're like, it's so specific. Like, how could this actually be the case? So the Gemara answers, kol shtare lo rie. All ordinary notes of indebtedness are not flawed. In other words, we can't suspect all documents, right, that they somehow have this earlier date before the actual debt was given. Hani rie. But these notes that the Mishnah is dealing with are flawed notes. In other words, the Mishnah is specifically talking about a case of notes that are basically known to be flawed. And so therefore, we do question some of the details or the genuineness that's in the actual note itself. So the Gemara is now going to present another difficulty with this idea about being worried about, you know, the document having a date that's earlier than when the actual loan went through. Elahatnan, right? But then how can you account for what was learned in a Mishnah? And so they're going to quote a Mishnah here from Bava Batra, and which we haven't gotten to yet, from 167. Kotzvim shtar lelove. We can draw up a debt document for the borrower. Afal pi she'im melave imo. Even though the lender is not with him. So the point is that even though the lender isn't with him, the witnesses who signed the note, they didn't actually witness the loan, but we still allow to draw up this note and let witnesses sign it, you know, at the borrower's request because he's the one who the note's going to obligate. So if he wants it written, we allow it. So now the question is, l'chatzchila heichi katvinuhu, right? How can we draw this note up initially? Nichush shama katav l'lavo b'nisan, right? Maybe we should be concerned that the debtor drew up the note to borrow the money in the month of Nisan, v'lo lava al Tishrei, but he didn't actually borrow the money until Tishrei. V'ate l'mitarev l'kuchot shelo kadin. And the creditor will come to, you know, seize his property from its purchasers. So in other words, we're saying you still, you know, even according to this scenario, you still have to worry. The borrower did it, draws up this document, the lender is not there, and maybe actually he didn't get the money too much later. So how do we solve this? So Rav Asi is basically going to say that when we have a case where we allow the borrower to draw up this document without the lender being there, it's a specific case. I'm a Rav Asi. Rav Asi says it's bishtarei hakina, right? That we allow this when it's notes of acquisition. In other words, the loan document, you know, is allowed to stipulate basically that the borrower says the lender has an immediate lien against his property, right? Even if the lender didn't actually give him the money yet. And so we, again, don't have the same concern that we had before, that maybe the date was given before. That is what this Mishnah is talking about in Bava Batra. Daha shabid nafshe, right? The debtor obligated himself to pay the sum whether or not the loan was actually made. Now, the Gemara is going to challenge Rav Asi's solution. Ihachi, if that's so, right, that the only way, the only reason why you would draw up a note, for the borrower without the lender being present is in the case of shtarei hakina'a. Matninan to Kitani, right? So you're going to find a difficulty with our Mishnah, because what does our Mishnah say? Im yesh bahen achra yu nechasin loch yachzor. Our Mishnah says if there's a lien, you don't return it. So this is our Mishnah's case is exactly this, is that if there is a lien, you don't return it. V'ukmina keshachai of moda. And we interpreted the Mishnah as referring to a case where the debtor admits that there is a debt, right? He owes money. Umishum shamik tavla lavo benisan. But the reason the note may not be returned is because we're worried that maybe the debtor wrote Nisan, but actually didn't borrow the money till Tishrei. And the creditor then can come and take property from a purchaser who actually purchased it before Tishrei. Amai lo yachzor. So then the question becomes, why should the finder not return the note to the creditor, right? It doesn't make sense. If we say, that we have a possibility that the writing and the dating of this note is before the time that the loan actually happened, then we would say, nechaze, let us see, right? E bishtar hakina, if this note was a note of acquisition, ha shabid le nafshe, the borrower obligated himself. He said he's going to pay the sum based on the date that appears in the note. It doesn't have anything to do with the actual timing of the loan itself. Right? If it's a note that's not a note of acquisition, just a regular, ordinary loan document, then there's no reason to be worried that maybe the loan document was given, the date in there is before the time of the actual loan. You, Rav Asi, said that when the lender's not present with the borrower, we don't draw it up. We don't draw up an ordinary loan document, right? So what's the case that the Mishnah actually applies with? So the Gemara is going to say, how would Rav Asi answer? Amar lach Rav Asi, af al gav dishtari delav hakna'a, right? Even though in the cases of notes that are not the acquisition types, right? Ki leka malva behedja lo katvinan. When the lender is not present with the borrower, we may not draw them up. Matninan keva de nafal itrele. But our Mishnah says that since the note was lost, it was flawed. In other words, the fact that you have a lost note, that is why there's a cause for concern that there's something weird about this note. Because in general, people are very careful about their loan documents. So the fact that you find this loan document floating around, right, the question really should be, is this really a valid loan document still? Was this document meant to be in circulation? And so therefore, we're worried that, perhaps it happened that they drew it up prior to the loan, and they actually shouldn't have drawn it up at all. So that's how Rav Asi can basically solve it, that really what our Mishnah is talking about is, it's calling into question, and that's why we're so careful with the document that's found in our Mishnah, is why was it sort of like out in the world to begin with lost, right? People should be careful with their loan documents. These aren't things that should normally be lost, and that's why we're going to be more careful with it, not necessarily return it and not return it to the creditor right away, even according to Rabbi Meir, if there's a lien on, and according to the Chachamim, under any circumstances. Abai is going to come from here, and he'll have another explanation, about when a borrower can drop a loan document without a lender being present. So the Gemara is going to spend a chunk of time talking about this. But I think, you understand why the Gemara needs to do a lot of explaining of the Mishnah, because at the end of the day, if the loan is a loan, why shouldn't you be able to return it to the creditor? And so I think the point ultimately is that there's something suspicious about finding this type of document, and that's why we're actually very careful with it, and we don't necessarily give it to the creditor.
Right. I think that we automatically kind of sense that if you have that kind of documentation, you have a promissory note, whatever, it's going to make that the debt, the loan, the terms of the loan very clear because isn't it all written down? And the answer is not so much in this case. It does not smooth the way at all, or not particularly in the way that we would think that it would. You know, isn't that why we have documentation? But in this case, it doesn't quite work. I'm going to pick up the Gemara on the top of Amud Bet, where the Gemara is still delving into this Mishnah to interpret it. In this case, going into the machloket, the dispute between Rabbi Meir and the rest of the sages. I'm Rabbi Elazar, machloket b'she'ein chayav modeh. We're talking about a case where you have, you know, the claim that you owe me money, right? And the other guy, the person who purportedly owes the money, will not acknowledge it. So what does Rabbi Meir think? To Rabbi Meir savar, shtar she'ein bo achrayut, nechasim, shtar she'ein bo achrayut nechasim, eno goveh lo mi meshabdei, velo mi b'nei charei. Rabbi Meir says that if you have that kind of note, that promissory note, and it doesn't include any kind of guarantee on the property, then you can't collect from the property that has a lien on it. That should be clear. But you also can't collect from other property that has not been sold either. Mi b'nei chare, like b'nei chorin, like free, right? Meaning it doesn't have any attachment or designation. Rabbanan savri, mishabdei hu d'lo gave. The rabbis, the sages in general, say you can't take from property that has a lien on it. Mi b'nei chare megabe gave. But if it is unleaned, right? It doesn't have a lien on it. Doesn't have any claim on that property. Then you could claim. You could collect from there to pay back the debt that you're claiming that the guy owes. Aval kishchayav modeh. But if the person who you're saying owes the money, in fact, admits that he in fact owes the money, divrei hakol yachzir. So then everybody agrees that the person has to return the note, right? We don't worry. Then we're not worrying about any kind of like plot between the person who finds the promissory note and the debtor who claims that he doesn't owe, meaning he's come clean. So you don't have to worry about it then. You just make sure that he's going to pay back to the extent that he can, when he can, or as soon as he can, whatever, right? Meaning the timing is its own conversation. But here the question is, when can you go after him? And the answer is, well, in the case where the person who's supposed to be paying back acknowledges the debt, then we're not worried that he's not going to pay back. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Machloket B'Shechayav Modeh. So Rabbi Yochanan says, wait, hang on. The dispute is really when the person who's supposed to pay back the debt does admit to the debt. So as opposed to the first statement of Rabbi Elazar, now Rabbi Yochanan has a different way of understanding this Machloket. Rabbi Elazar says, in the event that the debtor admits to it, acknowledges it, then everybody agrees. There's no machloket. There's no dispute. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the dispute is in that case. Machloket kishechayav modeh, in the case where the person who's supposed to pay back says he has to pay back. Do Rabbi Meir savar, shtar she'en bo achreyut nechasim, mimashabdehu delo agave, aval mimnechare megabe gave. So Rabbi Meir says, in the event that he acknowledges he has to pay back, so you still can't pay, he doesn't have to pay back, rather, from the property that has a lien on it. You can't come to collect from that. Having that promissory note isn't going to change that. Unless it had some kind of guarantee, right, that it will come from that particular property. But he could collect from unsold property, something that doesn't have a lien on it. Rabbanan savre, mimishabdei nami gabe. And the rabbis say, this is like a flip of Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, Rabbi Elazar's understanding, namely, that in fact you could collect from the property that has a lien on it, aval kishein chayav modeh, divrei hakol, lo yachzir, dachai shinan lefaraon, right? In the case where the person who is supposed to pay back doesn't acknowledge the debt, then divrei hakol, then everybody agrees that you can't go back on the promissory note to collect the money, dachai shinan lefaraon, because maybe he already did repay. I think it's really interesting, of course, that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan kind of interpret this Mishnah and the dispute here in diametrically opposite ways. And then Tanya Kavatid Rabbi Yochanan v'tiyufta de Rabbi Lezer b'chada v'tiyufta de Shmuel b'tarte. So then the Gemara goes on to explain that there's a braita that lines up with Rabbi Yochanan, and that refutes part of Rabbi Lezer's position, and it refutes two parts of Shmuel's interpretation from further back, right? But we're going to stop here. The point here is just that this is one of those Mishnayot that when you read it, when we read it, you know, yesterday, whatever, it was so simple. It was so straight. The case is so clear. And then, as you said, Yerdana, you get into the weeds with the interpretation of what really is the case of this Mishnah, and it's not so simple at all. Thank you, Gemara.
That's our DAF discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this DAF on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.